Matthew 12.
There's a song I heard about that. You wrote 29, I wrote on the side. There's 11, 28, 29.
In verse 22, then there was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil or rob his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, you've spent a lifetime up to this point being divided against yourself. Paul said that the purpose of teaching, my role, is to teach those that oppose themselves. There are 10,000 billion things where you stand in opposition to yourself. It's time for that to stop. And it stops by the revelation of Christ and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's so, I mean, we've been through this 100 times, but maybe we'll look at it from a different dimension. If you could conceive of a continuum where in that continuum for, I don't care how long a period of time, do whatever you can, whether it's a minute, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, a year, 10 years, or a lifetime, where that in every moment of that continuum, you had no propensity to judge the state that you were in. You understand what I'm saying? There was never a moment in that line of time in which you that anything could come into your life, any stimulus, any thought, any activity could come into your life by which you would judge it, by which you would compare. Well, that is the perfect work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the evidence of this, these words of Christ, is that your house has been divided against itself for lo these many years, and it has not stood. Now why continue trying to build it up? It's so simple. The simplicity of it is its elegance. If in every moment from now on, when there was a propensity in you to say your condition should be different than it is at that instant, that you recognize and simply say, Get thee behind me, Satan. Am I communicating?
Yeah, but I've asked this 100 times, but here it is again. How does that interface with time after time after time? Generally you, sometimes other people, point out to me accurately how I am off base, I am wrong, I'm in the high place stuff, I mean, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do those two come together? Do I say, okay, I'm wrong, I'm in the high place stuff, so what? I'm not going to judge it. How are those reconciled?
Go to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 11 or verse 9. It's the whole thing is the Song of Moses. This is one of the great. Well, anyway, it's great. It's the Song of Moses. It's before he died. Verse 9, he said, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. And he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did. The Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields," etc., etc. He made him ride on the high places. 32, 33. Yeah, where is it? Verse 33:29, "Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Go to Isaiah 58. Verse 13, "If thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure in my holy day, and shall call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, nor speaking thine own finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." Whether it's to ride, to fly, to sit, to play on your high places. I mean, if I kid you about these little trips of yours, and you just laugh it off, there's nothing. It's only when I talk to you about something that you know you are guilty of that you get destroyed. And the only reason you're guilty of them is because the blood hasn't touched you in that arena. It has nothing to do with the act. There's no thing to be whom the Lord has made free is free indeed. I've said it so often, it's beginning to sound like a cliche, that God desires that he can say to the world, the devil, and the flesh, "Take your best shot against this, the apple of my eye. Nothing on the face of the universe, or depth, or height, or can touch him." That's the only thing that's happening. I don't care about all the little stuff. I care that you know that one mystery.
So then, in reality, a hot seat situation is simply a search and destroy on your part to see
where the blood hasn't touched.
Well, that makes sense.
If there's a place that you haven't apprehended his sufficiency. Do you understand that? Now, the thing that the secret here, again, when we talk about this, is that the house divided against itself cannot stand. That's true, period. The house divided against itself may have the appearance of standing for a brief time. And so you, therefore, are in a position of trying to compare yourself with the divided house that apparently is standing, and then you think you should be that way. Fret not yourself because of the evildoer who prospereth in his way. The evildoer is of him, the self-seeking. I promise you, he's living in a divided house. Give me 5 minutes alone with any person on the face of the earth, and I will prove to them how divided their house is. The fact is, that divided house is not standing, shall not stand, never will stand, and by faith we see that it is destroyed. Therefore, we can speak to it. We don't speak as the human race speaks or the Gentile speaks to people. We don't respect that position. Nor do I respect it in you. Now, if the house divided in you has seemed to be not standing and you don't care about it, and the only evidence, the evidence that it isn't standing is if you don't care about it. That's why I'm so, you know, especially on the Levites. I pity the Levites. They have it rough. Especially Doug. But yet, in one sense, that's blessed.
Yeah, it's constant. It's living under a constant searchlight.
But we've got to see, we're not trying to build this house anymore. The house, your house is divided. It cannot stand. It's defeated. It's done. It's finished. Stop trying to fuck with it. Yeah, this is just the same thing. That's all the Holy Spirit's doing now. Let's go back to Matthew 12. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me is scattering abroad. You understand? There's no neutral position. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. Scattering what? His seed. His holy seed. If you're not in the process of gathering the seed, you're scattering it. Where's the seed? In the earthen vessels. Now, he said all that, and then he says, that wherefore? Every time he says wherefore, you know somehow the thoughts are connected, even though you don't have any idea how they are connected, because it doesn't look like they're connected.
He's going to get spiritual.
Huh?
He's going to get spiritual.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying all this stuff about divided houses and can't stand and all that kind of stuff, and then he says, wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. Now, for those of you who haven't entered into this domain of spiritual life, this next scripture is going to scare the holy bejesus out of you.
Before you do that, it's just really bothering me. You, as long as you know that you're putting your head down.
It's bothering me, too. I don't want to do it. Thank you.
Bejesus. I wonder where that came from. Bejesus.
All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I just call him a dork. I call him a ninja dork.
That's it. See.
I mean, I've had it.
You're out of here.
I'm out of here. What is the unforgivable sin? What is this thing? What is this mystery with regard to the Holy Spirit that somehow tied it to the divided house? Somehow tied that who is not with me is against me. Who's not gathering is scattering. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy may be forgiven, But the sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven. You can say anything you want against the Son of God, but to say against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable.
To speak against the Holy Spirit is to not speak.
Well, then you've committed the unforgivable sin.
I don't know.
That's the one who doesn't speak.
Well, everybody's committed this thing. I mean, everybody's unforgivable.
The unforgivable sin, to speak against the Holy Spirit, is to speak against His purpose, His function, His persona, His business. The unforgivable sin is unbelief in Jesus Christ.
God says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt.
Do you understand? Go to John 16. Sorry, John 14. John 14. Can't find it. Well, what it says, and it's, I don't feel like I can get out. It says, He shall take of mine and show it unto you. I mean, the Holy Spirit's function in the body, we saw what He was doing in the world. He's convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In the body, He's taking, which he's doing the same, it just looks different. In the body, He's taking that which is of Christ and showing it unto you. So that, I mean, there's no, we're not into the ooey-oo aspects yet of the Holy Spirit, but in the real function, He is simply revealing Himself, revealing Jesus Christ unto you in all things. That's, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit means to go against that flow. Therefore, you don't believe. You.
Or failure to hear under.
Yeah.
So it's a failure to believe?
No, it's even more subtle than that. Yeah. You know, because it's like, you wake up in the morning and you think, you know, I'm alone, or I got to do this, or you don't even think I'm alone. That would even never come to your mind. I have to do this. I have to work. I got to pay my insurance up. I mean, a million different things rather than saying I am connected with everything. You know, I mean, I felt that, you know, the last few days. You know, it's like, shh, you know, all connected. Everything's fine.
Right.
The rest of the time, you know, it's just the whole reality of the universe is nothing to you because you're so concerned about your own ass.
I just don't understand it about. No, I'm adult. About. I mean, obviously, everybody's still in that position. Everybody's done that a million times, right?
The last being the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You got your wisdom.
Fucking A and Lee.
I think she means look out.
This is your life.
That's right.
Yeah. This is his life.
Right.
Your sin is unforgivable.
Right.
There is no way. You're unforgivable. You can't be forgiven by God or man.
So this is another way of saying man will not inherit the kingdom.
That's right. But it's more precise way of saying it. Okay, let's go. I want to talk to me. Let's go to John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I want to talk about voice of God. Stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. What don't you understand?
That's, the voice of strangers.
If you were if you had ever been around sheep, Harry spent a lot of time.
Really? Oh, I see. They're only getting, it's like a dog only answering his master's voice. Still got
my hippos.
Yeah, or any kind of animal. I mean, that you know.
Can't do anymore. They totally ignore anybody.
Yeah, but sheep are the worst. Sheep are the worst.
But I mean, cattle are like, cattle not so much, but horses especially.
Okay, anyway, the point is that you could go up there and spend a lifetime trying to talk to those sheep and get them to do what you wanted to, and they'd just run from you unless you had been with them. Now, the question is, there are billions of voices in this world. And you've listened to most of them. Now, I want you to be so exercised that you only listen to his voice among all the voices. To ignore all other voices, in fact, flee from every other voice, including your own. Mm. Aren't you tired of listening to your own voice? Don't you know that in that structure wherein you're listening to your own voice, it's the evidence that the house is divided and it's just falling apart? Now hear another voice. Hear his voice. Now, another aspect of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to cause you to hear only his voice. To flee from all others. To sanctify. The work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification. Now to sanctify, we think in the world, I mean, you know, okay, we're going to have a sanctuary. All the words, sanctify, sanctuary, holy, saint, all of those words in the Greek are from one word, hagios. And it simply means to separate. But in this case, the work of the Holy Spirit is to separate Jesus Christ from the flesh. That's what the true sanctification is. So that no matter where the flesh moves as a vessel, Christ is always, he's in it, but never of it. He's never touching the flesh. Now, in order for that to take place, it requires this extremely disturbing voice to be heard in you. So that the Holy Spirit is, he's a surgeon, and he's taking and cutting away every place where that seed is touching flesh. Now, it's painful. There's all kinds of good things that have to be separated. Because if you don't separate them, if the Holy Spirit isn't successful, if you flee from the pain of the surgery, then you will follow another. You will not follow his voice. Because you will end up thinking that it's a strange thing to partake of the sufferings of Christ, and therefore, it's the evidence you've believed the false gospel all along. Do you understand? To separate Christ from the flesh by causing you to hear his voice is the area that we're going to spend, the time that we're going to spend for the next couple sessions. I want you to be so clear that you will never again pay attention to another voice but his. I am so tired of hearing you repeat to me other voices and giving them breath. It's just babble, including your own. Now, there was only three times in the scriptures when it was recorded that Christ, that the voice of God was audibly heard by Jesus Christ. Three times. And yet he said he and his Father were one. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. Elijah has just had this confrontation in Mount Carmel, and he slew 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, but he didn't slay Jezebel. But now Jezebel is still messing, the queen of heaven.
How come he didn't kill her?
He's afraid of her.
Bitch.
He fled from her and lived in Horeb for a long time.
This is what John Rickey, because he came back and did slay her eventually.
In verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came there into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, if you go look up there a little bit, you see I'm running for my life again. But anyway. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And God said, right. No, he didn't say that.
Go for it.
And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard, notice that it isn't, there's no it there, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah?
So wait a minute. So Elijah went down there and all this great crap happened, and then the voice said,
what are you doing here?
He went back to the cave after he saw that kid freaking out?
Hmm?
I didn't understand that.
She wants to know where he was standing and all this was going on.
Was he still in the cave when all that happened?
Yeah, Mount Horeb is still, it's out here in the Sinai. And he's just up there hanging around going in and out of the cave because he's running from Jezebel.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now,
so God was just trying to make an impression on him?
Yeah.
He's leaning on him pretty good.
Rending mountains in pieces.
Do it.
Breaking stone and fire.
Go to Hebrews 4.
Are you paying attention,
Elijah? He's still a small boy.
That isn't what he was doing.
He's leaning on.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 4. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that two-edged sword is the sacrificial knife. That's the technical name for it. And it's the sacrificial knife that was used to cut the sacrifice and then to slit down to the bone and the marrow to check the sacrifice. Now, the Word of God divides asunder soul from spirit so that there is no stimulus within you that will ever follow the voice of soul again, because you know it leads to death. In fact, you will flee from the voice of soul. Now, the question is, do you know his voice? Do you know the sound of his voice? Can you hear his voice? Or can you only hear mine? That's a biggie.
I guess the only time I think I have any idea the difference between all the other voices and that voice is that the voice that appears to me to be God or the Holy Spirit or whatever is the only one that's peaceful. It's the only one that's like centering or...
No, you can't buy that one.
Yeah.
That one will deceive you.
Sometimes it's rage. Uh-oh. Because
yeah.
I don't know anything after.
No, I mean, it's a start, but that one will deceive you.
So yeah. How do you know? You test them.
No. Well, you do that for a long time, Priscina. I mean, the sheep don't run around saying, are you...
Yes, it's me.
Are you the shepherd?
Say,
like,
Jesus is Lord. Oh, grandma.
It's like those cartoons with the old wolf running around and tries all these ploys to get the sheep. The sheep are just like...
Yeah.
The dog, the big sheep dog that appears out of nowhere.
So how do you know his voice?
Voice prayer analyzer.
Well, that's a good one. There is, it's a very clear, distinct pattern.
It always says I'm in trouble. If it says I'm in trouble, it's the voice of God.
No.
No, can't trust that.
That's the voice of God. It's not that concerned.
Well, that's just the opposer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, the voice print and the test is always... so simple. It's so simple that you can let nothing confuse you from the simplicity. And the only voice that you can ever again pay any attention to has one resounding object, subject, and predicate.
It's finished.
It is finished. With any other voice, you're going to be deceived. Whether it's me, especially you, Harry's the one you really got to watch for. But think of the millions of voices that you hear and have heard. I mean, do you understand that we cannot now ever again listen to another voice? Am I communicating?
Yeah.
It is finished. We've presented ourselves a living sacrifice. We didn't choose this place of sacrifice. We didn't necessarily like it when we got here. We didn't like it after we'd been here a while.
We liked it for a while.
Mm-hmm. We still do like it from time to time.
It comes and goes.
But in that process of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, we are being transfigured by the renewing of our minds. Now that's... And they're being renewed from that one position. It is finished. Now that's all the Holy Spirit's doing. Now he's going to do all kinds of ooey ooh stuff here in a minute. But you must begin to listen only to that voice, the voice of God. You can't listen to your voice any longer. You can't listen to the voices that describe and continually try to prove, whether they're positive or negative, it doesn't matter. Amen? It is finished. Now, you've already, God snickered you. You've already heard too much. None of you could ever go to another voice. I mean, I'm talking about me. If I start preaching some stupid doctrine, you'd see it in a minute. You can never hear, God snookered you. You can never again hear another voice. You think you can, and you give it breath for a while, and therefore you're still tossed about like a cork in a wave. But you're tossed about like a cork in a wave that's anchored. You don't know you're anchored, especially when the cork's going up and down, you're getting seasick.
Well, you're going to be water.
But now, once you know the voice, the voice calms the waters. And you then are no longer moved by every wind and wave of doctrine and the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. But not only are you anchored in the Word, your mind has been renewed in that you've overcome the evil one. And you are strong. And the Word of God abideth continually in you. And I mean, the anchor and the weight of the anchor and the chain of the anchor and the bob and everything else all responds only to that one voice. Now, if you hear it's not finished somehow, then the anchor is cut, the cork goes haywire again, you know, and it's sick again.
It's real bad, real fast.
The moment you respond to your trip, or your trip, or your trip, or your trip, any of your trips, the moment you respond to it, you begin to pay attention to another voice. Well, there's a whole lot of stuff about his voice that we'll look at.
Yeah, we like this.
But
I did that just for Harry. I didn't even notice it.
Oh, we got another thing you're not supposed to do.
We all hate that. I have no opinion on it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't even pay attention.
Like me wearing my yellow shoes around. Holy.
Disgusting shit. Okay, take a big guy.